seven.
Okay.
So mortality in healthy years is the label of the line.
And your point about the fact that there's regional variations, I think is very, very, very appropriate.
And the other point about cost is something that we haven't, it wasn't on there, but that might be a good idea.
And Kaiser Permanente has been looking at cardiovascular mortality in their regions where they have delivery systems and seen declines in that relative to mortality from other conditions. And we've noticed the same in Minnesota, actually. And although the linkage directly to efforts of care delivery systems, there's some thought that the care delivery system efforts really contribute materially to that result. So, you know, that's one example. The second thing I think your comment raises is the fact that it's pretty important that third objective of the National Priority Partners, which is set the context of community-level measures of not only health determinants but outcomes in terms of mortality rates in general. And there needs to be work in terms of how you relate specific condition-specific mortality rates to those general outcomes. And I don't know much about that factor, but I do know that's a question that I have, is how those things relate, as well as mortality to individual institutions. I mean, we really don't know whether that has any material effect on those other kinds of things, at least that I know of.
One of the great advantages... One of the great advantages at the population health level is we talked a little bit about environmental exposures like the small particulate matter from the small particulate matter and air pollution from coal burning energy generation plants. You know, that's a community decision to put those plants in, and it markedly increases the risk of cardiovascular death in those regions. So by actually measuring mortality rates and adjusting for some of the other components of lower-level clustering of patients within a region, you can start to really highlight decisions by policymakers and communities that have led to worse health for their population.
Things are interlinked, aren't they?
The other comment that I was going to make is that Tom's talk is mostly focused, I think, appropriately on places where there are wholesale measure gaps. The thing that he didn't talk about, which is also, I think, important, is areas in which there are existing measures, but they might need to be improved, right? And so we talked about several of those this morning. Michael and others talked about sort of what's the denominator, really, and is it just the people we've touched twice in the last year, or should it be broader, those kind of things. I and perhaps others talked about the need to be able to better assess trends, for example. There are things about even where there are existing measures, there may be some areas for potential improvement.
There's another comment on the phone.
Okay. Go ahead on the phone.
Yeah, hi, this is Rami. I think in some ways this is very similar to the comments that John was just making. It felt like this latter conversation was very process-focused, a little bit structure, and was missing some critical factors around health outcomes. And I did look back at that slide 76, domain 3. I don't know if it was intended as that is laid out. It talks about mortality and it talks about measures of length and quality of life. And my fear is that that will be interpreted as being qualies. Qualies are a really limited concept, and there's a lot of implicit assumptions people aren't usually aware of built into that. And I would really encourage us to think about the potential value of measures of burden of illness, of functioning, and potentially of satisfaction, even circling back to that earlier conversation about, happiness and how that can be measured. But I think burden of illness, functioning, and satisfaction are important. And if measures that go beyond a quality can be constructed, I think they would be helpful in helping people be innovative about the way that healthcare and other non-healthcare steps are taken to improve community health.
Who else? On the phone, anybody? All right. I think we're probably ready. What I'd like to do is give directions for completing the worksheet. have you do that and then take your break and then come back and we'll begin to engage in discussion of the worksheet and the issues that may arise from filling this out, and then we'll get to our dot voting, which I know you're eager to do. So that, if that's a reasonable plan, then I think we'll do that. So when you give the directions for how to fill out the worksheet, then we'll take a 15-minute break and then come back and do our dot voting around top of the hour. So go ahead and give us our directions.
So similar to our child health worksheet, there's a three-step process for the session. First, committee members on by phone and in person will complete the worksheets, both the domains and the subdomain pages. Then we will do discussion around the key issues. If you see a domain or subdomain that you feel is missing, especially teeing up with the previous conversation from both folks on the phone, feel free to note that, and when we enter into discussion after the worksheets, we can decide if you'd like to add a domain or subdomain. Once that is completed, we will do dot voting around the domains, and for those on the phone, we will have you send emails with your votes. For folks who are starting to think about voting, you have 2 votes for the domains and then 5 votes for the subdomains. After we finish dot voting for domains, we'll enter into discussion and then finally dot voting for the subdomains and also enter into discussion.
All right, everybody clear? So, fill out your worksheets and take your break. We'll be back at the top of the hour. Okay, we're we're at the process of getting all everybody together.
Yeah. Operator, can we get everyone else on the call again, please? Make sure that folks know that if they are not making comment, they need to put their phone on mute because we can hear them rummaging around on the phone.
All right.
And you are now live with your audience.
Okay. So at this point, we've had a chance to fill out our worksheets and want to give everybody an opportunity to raise issues that that came up during that process. So the floor is open for issues related to that have come up in the course of filling out the worksheets. The one that came up for me is I'm not entirely comfortable with the going for subdomains in clinical preventive services. And And the reason for that is that in the age of, at least for a segment of the population, in the age of automated medical record systems and the potential for composite measures and a defined set of activities which are felt to have high priority and impact, it seems to me that we ought to take preventive services as a block in terms of that system requirement and hold ourselves accountable for performance against that block of services by age and gender of the individual involved. And I know this is a measure we have in Minnesota that we've been talking about at NQF and so forth, but to then go and have sub-measures underneath that seems to fragment that sort of systems view of preventive care. So anyway, that's what occurred to me in terms of moving from the population the population health domain level down to the subdomain worksheet, that kind of issue. So the question of whether preventive services is a topic once you had an assessment of which ones are evidence-based and then which ones have the highest impact, whether they should be taken as a block or not, is a strategy that sort of is an alternative to taking them all one by one. By being clear on that. Other issues that came up for people while they were doing that, filling out their worksheets, or thinking about it. Go ahead.
I was just a little bit confused. Where would it be four or five in which you'd have the issue of the other organizations within the community infrastructure, like schools and employers and things? I couldn't figure out where it fit best.
It seems to me that you could do either one. So it depends a little for me if I were trying to so for me personally, it's more important to get important things on the table than exactly which category you put it in. And what I'd probably do is if the topic lent itself to a kind of a topical measure, I might put it under the fourth one. If you were mostly looking at a system thing about interacting with schools, for example, I might put it in the fifth one and call it a system thing, but I'm not sure that it greatly matters.
The other comment I had doing this exercise was in actually that domain five, and whether social determinants and environmental factors are too lumped up. You know, they're like sort of the prevention discussion we had yesterday. And in the exercise that we've done as an organization, strategic planning, we've broken them down into drivers and sub-drivers, actually, and then looked at the relevance to our own organization, which seemed to be more, it's abstract at the level of just a bullet that says social determinants or environmental factors. It doesn't get real till you're really talking about something real. So that was the other comment that I had. Done that earlier, I would have put that to the process earlier. but we just completed that a week or two ago. So anyway, that's the second kind of issue. Other comments or issues? Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed the what George described to me as a very enlightening and lively discussion. One thing that I think, and George, it's almost a question for you and perhaps some others around the table, and that is the degree to which some of these things would also be applied to health systems, because it, to me at least, that modifies to some extent which of those might be more important among these. Because some of these clearly are global public health kinds of things.
Yep.
And some of them are, I mean, you know, if you think about health partners, I know that you focus on wellness and some other things, which clearly also, I think, fit in some of these
right.
categories. Anybody but you or others want to sort of comment on how we balance those?
Well, when you think about, when I think about the process of quality chasm, structure, you know, they laid out in that report, that IOM report, that talked about the clinician level meeting the patient and the microsystem level within health systems, this sort
yeah.
of the small team,
yeah.
and then there's the organizational view,
yeah.
and then there's sort of the environmental view.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear when we're on this topic that a number of these concepts and issues are at the higher levels of that hierarchy. and some apply, you know, down closer. I think we need to be operating at all of those levels if we're thinking about quality measures in general. Quite frankly, I don't think we ought to assume that every measure that we have has to be relevant in one clinician and one clinician. So that's one sort of assumption I have. But the second sort of assumption is that we need to be, obviously, these things deploy themselves at levels of higher organizations.
Could I add to that? In the way that the talk was kind of structured, and as the group laid out the domain, right, starting from clinical preventive services, which is very much sort of a one-to-one, and going through domains that get farther away from the individual patient clinician interaction to get more social and environmental. There's also that sort of starting at the one-to-one level and moving all the way out to the community level, and the group sort of defined the domains to illustrate the importance of that whole spectrum, I think.
But I think what George is suggesting too, and what, as you move from this patient at the center in that IOM diagram to the environment on the outside, while there are boundaries, they're fuzzy, and very clearly there are some health systems. And you know, to the degree that we create measures that would encourage health systems to take on some of those responsibilities for population health, defined as the public, because in a way, population health and public health have a lot of overlap. And with the kinds of information systems that are being envisioned now, I think there's much more opportunity to make those more coherent.
There's a comment on the phone.
Okay.
Yes, hello, this is Rami. I have three comments I'd like to make. The first is that, and this is related to our previous discussion, I think domain three, having just those two subdomains of mortality and length and quality of life, is a miss, because I think, you know, burden of illness, functioning, and satisfaction are really important patient health outcomes, which are not obviously captured there. And, it, you know, just the way it's listed now, I might vote for it differently. The second issue is on clinical preventive services. And I apologize, George, if this is a comment that was made before I got back in the room. I think you restarted a little bit before I expected. But the clinical preventive services in domain one seems to overlap with half of what we have listed for domain four. So domain four says measures of health care and public health system performance. So the way I read that is measures of health care system performance and measures of public health system performance. And so domain one feels a lot like a measure of health care system performance. And then my last comment, just to sort of follow up on that last part, is that domain one right now has two subdomains listed, cardiovascular disease prevention and cancer prevention. And I'm curious why many other important potential subdomains have not been listed. For example, hearkening back to yesterday's conversation on the child and adolescent space, injury prevention is critical. Actually, it's critical in elderly, not just for a child and adolescents. Or vaccine-preventable illnesses, like we discussed earlier this morning, where measures of trying to reach rates where herd immunity is achieved, or measures of vaccine rates in susceptible populations could be promulgated. So I'm curious why other things outside of just cardiovascular and cancer weren't available under Domain 1.
Thanks for those. So actually, these slides weren't intended as identifying all of the possible domains. These slides reflect the conversation of the work group to date, identifying what people thought were high priority examples. And so you shouldn't interpret those as being an exhaustive list that fully defines the universe. They're intended to reflect a really good conversation to identify a high priority example.
So I think the question that's raised here is whether we should add some supplement. So let's go back to your suggestions in order here. Under mortality and healthy life years, you want to add burden. And what else did you
after the earlier discussion, of some sort of a global wellness. That there was also that, and I don't know whether that's captured in the five we just talked about, or whether we need to still a six.
Well, I think that's a good point. Do we need a six domain? Taking these concepts of burden and wellness and happiness and stuff.
I'm sorry, it's become very difficult to hear the latter part of the conversation. Is the microphone slipping?
I'm sorry. So we're thinking about taking your first suggestion and adding a sixth domain. That is something like healthcare function, or what would you call it?
Wellness, I think. So
wellness.
Nalini, can you give us the six? No, it's.
So the six domains would be domain one, clinical preventive services.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. The subdomains under domain three.
So the subdomains under domain three, we had mortality, length and quality of life, or healthy life years. And the few that Rami had thought to add were burden, function, and satisfaction. We'd also heard someone earlier mention patient health outcomes.
But why not drop healthy life years as an amalgamation of mortality and quality of life, get patient-centered health status or something like that as the burden of illness domain, and then satisfaction as a separate domain? Because they aren't conceptually the same.
And the other one that we had talked about that came up this morning that we weren't sure was reflected in what you just said was some global measure of wellness.
I support what John was saying about separating wellness or satisfaction from burden of illness or functioning.
And we normally think about, patient-centered health status as their symptoms, function, and quality of life. And so I think that would capture that concept well. So you'd have mortality, health status, satisfaction, and then if you wanted to include cost as a sixth domain, I still think that's worthy of consideration.
What is the sixth domain?
Costs.
Yes, I was going to make that suggestion as well.
Actually, the only thing about the thing about cost in this context is I'm not positive that it's quite a population health thing, right? It's a much more I think as you're talking about cost, it's a much more healthcare system focused thing, yeah. And a lot of what population health is doing is kind of bridging the healthcare system and the broader community, and so cost in population health has two potential problems. One of them is if you conceptualize cost as just a healthcare thing, then it's probably not big enough to be a population health issue. And if you're really talking about all the costs and all the benefits of all health related stuff, then it gets to be both very complicated and unmeasurable. And so I'm not sure. I think it's a really important issue. I'm not sure it most obviously fits in this constellation of stuff.
Well, just as a brief counterpoint to that, I would say that the culture of practice in different regions of the country is highly influential on the costs. And if you measure and quantify it, you can articulate there is not much evidence that more cost is associated with greater benefit. And if a community was aware that their companies, their businesses were paying more for healthcare in their region than similar businesses in Wisconsin were paying, and that they were not having any other benefits captured by Domain 3, I think it would create a lot of motivation to try and improve the efficiency of healthcare and to educate at the community level the demand in part by patients for more intensive healthcare services. So I disagree that it's not tightly related to what we're trying to capture at a community level, nor do I agree that it's not actionable. I think it is actionable.
I think the other way to think about it is that the meta organization of this project, we go back to the big circle and the four corners, and we're missing costs as one of the big circles in the healthcare system. And that would parallel the way IHI is thinking about it in terms of its triple aim project, which is health at one point in the triangle, total cost of care at another point, and patient experience, which they look at as being more the healthcare quality plus what's happening when you get healthcare, all the stuff that's happening. So at that level, you know, it actually raises the issue for NQF that although cost has come up in almost every conversation we've had, that there's not a parallel measurement stream that's really examining in a rigorous kind of way all the different ways you look at cost or economic cost that parallel that kind of. I think that Peter actually, from my own reaction to this conversation, is that actually Peter's right from the standpoint of this is one of the areas, but I am concerned that we're leaving it out of our way of thinking about measure development.
And at a minimum, yeah. I wouldn't. Wherever you put costs, I think it's a critical issue. It needs to be somewhere. At a minimum, I wouldn't mix it up with the health status the health status domain. Okay.
Okay. So let's review the bidding on these suggestions we have so far. Before I go to you, so we've got how many domains now? Six domains.
Six domains.
Satisfaction.
With satisfaction, underneath satisfaction, were there subdomains that we had agreed on?
Right. Okay. And then under domain three, we modified that one?
We modified domain three. We have mortality. Someone had suggested adding health status. And then we had length and quality of life, healthy life years.
And then there was a suggestion about childhood prevention.
Yes.
That under clinical preventive services that I heard in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Nikki had also proposed
so,
that.
So a bullet under that would say something like what?
Nikki had proposed, but Nikki, if you're on the phone, feel free to chime in.
Can you? You might want to say child and youth, since they're pretty distinct.
Say that again.
Just. Children and adolescents, we usually like to say both, so they're pretty distinct.
Okay, and then there were some other suggestions under clinical preventive services. I think Peter talked about the fact that we didn't want to be encyclopedic, but I think there were some other relevant suggestions. What were those suggestions aside from children's health, injury, and what was the other one? Vaccine? Seems like vaccines would be covered under children's health largely. No? Okay. Yeah. Any other modifications to clinical preventive services that we ought to consider? Okay, then I think I got all the suggestions you made. Down to you.
Thanks. I just wanted to, in my own mind, clarify who the audience is. And we're doing a lot of suggestions for potential measure development, and the issue of accountability rises in my mind. When we have a subdomain like wellness, who exactly is going to be held accountable for this? In my state, almost all this stuff is now publicly reportable. Almost all of it, plus many more things. There's huge public report cards. Not every state does it. We do, mainly as a result of legislative action. So that all the things that are actually measured will be publicly reported in their raw data form. The advocacy groups that support this are very vocal about it. The hospitals, the doctors, everybody else is concerned because the data is sometimes very unclean, very noisy, may not be reflective of what you want to get. And the requirement to measure a lot of stuff requires a large burden on behalf of the people who have to measure it and confuse it. And if the purpose of the public reporting is to allow the public to make a more informed decision as to what hospital they go, what health plan they have, what doctor they see, the quantity of the data and the confusion that quantity results in makes it not easier but actually harder. So just in some of these issues, cost as a domain, I mean, I'm a big proponent of knowing what things cost. I also know that it's very hard to measure benefit. And when you get involved in policy decisions at the state level and you say, this is our cost, but we're going to save X, Y, Z, the Treasury very often will not score those savings because they can't rely on them. So all they see is costs, and they don't admit to benefits. So it becomes a problem in doing budgets, and that's where the rubber meets the road, at the budget level. So I'm just asking, basically, who's going to be accountable? Who's going to have to report it? And when the public sees it, are they going to be more informed or less informed as a result?
We don't know the answers to all those questions at this point. And I think some of the concerns that you raise are very, very real. Most of what you're saying is very, very real practical problems. And it's obvious that in terms of thinking about how to approach this whole topic area, you have to be also thoughtful about accountability, reporting, and all those other kinds of things. But those things are not worked out.
Well, and it also seems to me that, you know, you can report at a community level where the entire community shares responsibility. And then as part of the QI process to improve that, you can drill down in a non-publicly reported sort of provider-by-provider or hospital-by-hospital level. So, you know, the recommendation and the design of the measure could be this is a regional, whether it's healthcare referral regions by Medicare, because that's an easy sort of way to conceptualize it, or it's by city or, you know, by state. I mean, it can be at a much higher level than, you know, where the data would be most actionable. So reporting and accountability don't need to be hand-in-hand with the acquisition of the data.
So at this point, really, why don't you go ahead and read again for us, and listen carefully, everybody, to make sure that in this very rich conversation we haven't left something out or forgotten something.
So for Domain 1, Clinical Preventative Services, we have the first two that were there before, cardiovascular disease prevention, cancer prevention, and then we've added three, and let me know if I've phrased these incorrectly, childhood and adolescent health, injury, and vaccine. So three additional subdomains.
That would be injury prevention, and it would be vaccine preventable illness.
Repeat that.
Injury prevention and vaccine preventable illness.
Okay, so just repeating, it'll be now read as injury prevention and vaccine preventable illness. And then for domain three, which was mortality and healthy years, we have the two that were existing subdomains, mortality, and then the second subdomain, length and quality of life. And we've added a third subdomain, health status. We've also added a sixth domain, which let me know if we want to call it wellness / satisfaction, or just wellness, or just satisfaction. We had health status, and then you want functional status as well. Okay. So domain three, we now have four subdomains, mortality, length and quality of life, health status, and functional status. Thanks, Peter.
And then the issue of what we want to call domain six, global wellness.
We often consider functional status to be a subcomponent of health status. I mean, can you write health status, open parentheses, symptoms, function, and quality of life, end parentheses? I just don't want to get a nomenclature that runs counter to the literature. It'll be difficult to make it actionable.
So then domain three subdomains would be mortality, health status, and then in parentheses, symptoms, function, quality of life. And does that mean we would eliminate those other two subdomains? Or
would we would eliminate functional status because that's sort of part of the conceptual framework for health status. And then length and quality of life, is really an amalgamation of the other two that you have in that subcategory. And I would propose deleting it. I mean, I think that integrating health status or burden of disease with mortality is a very complex thing, and it will end up leading to much less actionable much more unrefined measures. And so I would just have two. It's basically, are you above or below the ground? And if you're above the ground, how are you doing?
So one comment on that is that I had understood the mortality bullet to be about causes of mortality. Again, we're talking about populations, not individuals. And I had understood the length of life as being something like life expectancy. So they're obviously related, but they might not prompt the same measures.
Go ahead and read the what you've got so far.
So what I have so far is two subdomains under domain three. The first subdomain is mortality. The second subdomain is health status, and then in parentheses, symptoms, function, and quality of life. Although we just heard a comment about length of life years, so that could potentially be a third subdomain, but I'll leave it to the co-chairs.
I think I'd leave it the way it is, but it's up to you. Yeah, I'd leave it the way it is.
We'll be able to further refine it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's probably good enough for this round of voting. And then you have domain six.
Domain six, I have titled wellness / satisfaction, but we can change that title. And we had heard someone had proposed global wellness as a possibility.
I'm having a bit of a hard time understanding the difference between global, whether global wellness is different enough to what's going on in domain three. I think satisfaction might be a different domain, but global wellness, I'm struggling to see the big differentiation there.
So the proposal would be to have six as the domain six be satisfaction.
Or alternatively, we could have to retitle domain three as something like health measures and add a wellness satisfaction measure to domain three.
I think that would work for me. Yeah, let's do that. Add a third on wellness and then have domain six be satisfaction. Right.
No, I was going to suggest that satisfaction, in a sense, is a patient experience or person experience. It is something that really is a method of data collection, in a sense, and it's important, but it goes across virtually every area. You could have a patient experience with virtually any of the domains. So I'm not, I don't know how to emphasize it without. It doesn't belong in a separate silo. It is so pervasive and cross-cutting that it really ought to be noted, as there are various ways of collecting information about all these domains, and that patient or person experience with healthcare and the public health system ought to be factored in. So I'm speaking against having a sixth domain. I wouldn't label it satisfaction under any circumstances anyway.
The only argument we're labeling it as satisfaction is that IHI has gummed up the meaning of patient experience by including healthcare quality under that domain, and it's AAA.
Yeah.
So therefore, I prefer to use actually experience in the way you talked about it, but I don't want to cause more confusion in terms of having multiple meanings for it.
Well, circling back to our earlier conversation, I don't think we were talking about satisfaction like the patient's satisfaction with care, as we would discuss in an individual patient care situation. At a population level, I thought our conversation was about sort of that relationship to the gross domestic happiness kind of measure. We're trying to measure people's overall sort of health satisfaction with their health state. It's not about the healthcare system per se.
So if we take care of that by adding a third bullet under mortality and health years related to well-being, I think we're getting that concept, aren't we?
Yeah.
So the proposal now is to drop the sixth domain so we don't have to grapple with IHI or multiple meetings and satisfaction. They will have three under domain three, three sub-bullets under domain three. And we've added bullets to clinical preventive services. So that's where we are at this point. Now, did you still have your card up? Do you still want to talk?
No.
Okay. Tom?
Well, if you look at, as Anisha was following this, under the three under domain three, is it, now that you've made it bigger, we can't see all three of them. All right, there we go. Is it length and quality of life that wasn't a part of the three that you were envisioning? Okay, so we're going to have four.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Can you read the four again, please? I'm sorry.
Read the four again.
So the four under domain three are mortality, length and quality of life, or healthy life years, health status, where we have in parentheses systems, function, and quality of life, and then the fourth is wellness slash well-being.
Going once. you're scrunching up your nose because you can't see, or because you've got a point here.
What did we decide to do with cost?
Cost. I think we've decided not to have it in this, but I think the larger issue is that NQF doesn't have a measure stream that deals with it, and I think that's a major issue in this project, actually.
So as we discussed yesterday, the National Priorities Partnership priority area of overuse is meant to be broadly construed, and so we added appropriateness and efficiency to that concept of overuse, so to try to draw in the cost piece more explicitly. But our chairman is asking us to think some more about that, which we will do. We do have a specific consensus development process around measures of resource use coming up this summer. So obviously it's an area of focus for us.
I think to further expound on that, if we were to have a separate measure stream, I think it would be cost at every level, you know, that we've talked about so far, the relationship to overuse. But I think it would also be the concepts of affordability, the relationship of healthcare cost to income in different geographies. I think it could take on the issue of Medicare costs versus non-Medicare costs, the distribution of those kinds of issues in communities. I think there's the overwhelming need for a public open architecture total cost of care measure to drive accountability for accountable care organizations, which is an immediate policy priority. There are a whole bunch of issues related to cost of care other than narrowly raised by overuse or that have come up so far with respect to child health. And I would really encourage NQF to think about that as a separate measure stream, because it is a gap in terms of the structure, the way we've put together, because this conversation, I think, reveals it quite clearly. It is also not our failure to address it in a major kind of way, in that kind of uber kind of way, is also inconsistent with the way IHI is putting this forward. So, I think that's where we are with that. I think we've decided not to include it as a domain here, though. And so I think that we need to have enough conversation so that Tom has something for the report that reflects the fact that it came up. So if you have other comments you want to make that I haven't made so far, I mean, please have at it. This is your opportunity. Okay, other issues? Any other issues that we're missing now? Are we ready to dot vote? On the phone. Okay, are we ready for dot voting?
So the instructions for the dot voting is, for folks in person, you will have two of your seven dots to choose for the domains. We've put the domains. There are three domains on the POP on the first flip chart and two domains on the second. And since we actually, I don't believe we changed the actual domains, that remains the same. As you did yesterday, if you could remember to put the dots closest to the actual domain for folks who are tallying. For folks on the phone, If you have sent us your worksheets and you have no changes based on the discussion previously, then we will go ahead and put those dots on the flip charts. If you, either way, though, please email us to let us know either no changes or what your new two-domain votes would be. Thank you.
Do you also want us to vote the other five dots on the subdomains?
Not yet. Don't vote the other five dots on the subdomains yet.
Yeah, just I think that after the last discussion, this will be clear to everybody here, but the health status thing should be retitled that way so that everybody's clear that it's not just mortality in healthy years.
As Peter mentioned, domain three is beyond simply mortality in healthy years to also include those additional subdomains, especially the health status focus.
So we are only revoting three dots for the three out of five?
We're voting two dots or two votes of the five domains. You're selecting your top two, and you may, if you wish, put both dots on one domain.
Understood. Thank you.
Show up there and Thank you.
Services, lifestyle behaviors, and the health status, otherwise known as mortality in healthy years, all received 9 votes each. Then we had 6 votes for measures of health care and public health system performance, and then the other factors for community health index received 4 votes.
Okay. Any comments about the results? Very interesting. Are you all ready to vote for your subcategories? Any further comments? Well, okay. Give us your directions for subcategory voting.
So for subvoting, for those in person in the room, you'll have 5 votes, and you can put all 5 on one subdomain or select accordingly across 5 subdomains. We have added in red the new subdomains that we had recently added based on the previous discussion. For those on the phone, you have 5 votes for those subdomains on the worksheet, and if needed, we are happy to email you those new subdomains for your review as you're voting. Again, it's 5 votes or 5 dots for subdomains.
Yeah.
Because we don't have much to do, do we?
No, we don't have the reason.
Yeah. We can break for lunch then. Let's, lunch is here, so let's take a, I think we've got about 10 minutes of tallying left to do. I'm thinking that if we go ahead and pick up lunch, and if you bring it back in here and we have a shorter lunch break, say 15 minutes or so, that we can probably push through and finish by like 1 o'clock.
George, we should have the results of the tallying within 2 to 3 minutes. I think we've got almost everyone from the phone if you wanted to wait, but that's your call.
We're going to break for, you guys continue to work. We're going to take, go out and get your lunch, come on back. We'll resume in about 15, 20 minutes. On one side of this paper, you have the rank domains, which we said the results of a few minutes ago. And then on the other side, our just outstanding support from this NQF team has produced this one-page summary of exactly what we've done here. So. So, looking at this, and we've actually, you've ordered the sub-bullets by the results, haven't you? So, in addition to that. So, I don't know if I, do we need to read them for the folks on the phone? No, they should have them.
For those on the phone, the results have been emailed to you.
So, any reflections, any surprises, any commentary on what we see here?
Yes, George, this is Tom Dallas. Considering that clinical preventive services got the same ranking as healthy lifestyle behaviors and this health status, mortality, and healthy years on the domains, interesting to see that the votes tended to shift away from preventive services to the other more highly ranked domains, and then some over here on coordination of care across sectors and sort of the patient-focused episode context, which we've been working to promote, so that seems positive. And then also the system's infrastructure and policies got a higher number of votes than any of the individual sort of preventive services. May have been the way that we conceived the subdomains under preventive services as opposed to that block you were talking about. Perhaps we add those votes.
Actually, I can see now that the two votes I put under clinical preventive services, which were on the title, not on the sub-bullet, were interpreted as vaccine-preventable illness. And I actually put two votes on the category here, thinking that I'd make my point that that you need sort of a comprehensive approach. So actually, we need to revise that. All righty. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I wonder, and I can only speak for myself, obviously. I think it may also, it reflected to me at least that we've got a reasonable, although as people pointed out before, they need perhaps some tweaking and changes. We have some reasonable measures that are pretty widely known and used in the clinical preventive services. We're much less robust, other than you know the Health of Seniors survey and a few other examples like that. Health Outcomes survey. Used to be Health of Seniors survey that has functional status in it and is measured across a broad population of Medicare Advantage patients. There aren't many widely applied measures in those other areas, and at least for me, it reflected the emphasis on where we should put our attention and focus in terms of, since this is a priority for measure development, that's a primary. Now, again, that was.
I think I had the same kind of impression as I was voting. The reason I put the two dots on the category at this level, is because I think the area that needs work in clinical preventive services is creating those more complex system level measures that as I mentioned before, that really, combine multiple prevention interventions weighted by their impact, and in a way that stimulates a system to design systems so for all its clinicians, so that they're prompted through their automated medical record to do the right thing every time a person shows up, and the response is tailored to the age and gender of the patient coming forward, and which is different than just simply going to the topic areas, topic by topic, under clinical preventive services. So that's actually why I violated our own rules and put the two dots on. I mean, so you can kick me out of the room. But I wanted to make that point. So, and then I think the relative, I don't think the relative lack of votes in this category really speak to the importance of the category, but rather the fact, the point that you made, Greg, that there's a fair amount of stuff developed there. And so actually thinking of the votes, it's interesting that a lot of the voting really came down under Domain 3, didn't it? For that purpose, I think people are really, scratching their heads and trying to figure out, well, how would you go after that? I don't know if that's what people are saying, but that's one way to interpret the voting. Other comments on the voting? Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, so I'm actually struck on both votes about how distributed the votes are. And so in a sense, it looks to me like there's a lot of importance sort of across many of these things. I think that the votes for domain, the relatively sparse voting in domain 5 needs to be thought about in the context of the conversation that came before, which was this would benefit probably from some additional fleshing out. And so truth is, had domain 5 had some subdomains that were equivalently specified to the other ones that might have gotten more votes, I suspect. And so that kind of thing should probably be reflected in the write up. This is sort of a general comment to NQF. I'm struck. I've now been around these kinds of tables several times now, and I think that there's always this tension in these voting exercises that we've not collectively solved yet. About some of the voting seems to be about the priority of the category, and some of it seems to be about the importance of real or perceived gaps.
Yeah.
And I think that as individuals and groups, as I see people, I think people are not at all clear about which one they're voting on at which time. And I think that's going to be really important for you guys to get clear when you're communicating the results to decision makers, because I don't think you want to confuse what's really important and then where are the gaps, because those things may have little to do with each other.
Yeah. The other comment I have is thinking about the lifestyle behavior category. Whether you're active or not is, or whether you're following an appropriate diet or not, 5 fruits and vegetables or whatever it is, smoking, and risky alcohol use, And I've been trying to score myself on the 5 fruits and vegetables. It's very interesting what the challenges associated with actually trying to do that.
Travel.
Really. So, but those are, in a sense, status markers. So the way I think about it is you can grade yourself each day on all those 4 categories, and you can know where you stand with respect to them. But really what the healthcare system is interested in is what interventions or what activities they should pursue to equip their patients and people they're meeting in order to be active and acting on these things themselves. So there's a whole, and those things ought to be evidence-based or evidence-informed in terms of whether they're effective or not, but there's a whole other dimension to the lifestyle behaviors back behind these in terms of what kinds of things are available that we ought to be thinking about whether we're measuring process around. So anyway, that's another comment.
There's a comment from the phone.
Go ahead, telephone.
Yes, well, this is Rami. I just wanted to comment on the 2 domains, mortality and length and quality of life, healthy life years. It's the 3rd and 4th bullets under domain 3. And I wonder to what extent, notwithstanding our prior discussion on this, those two should be combined, having seen now how the voting came out and also having sort of thought about how that might work. Wonder what the group would think about that.
I think probably we need to leave it the way it is and let it be informed by the commentary, because it is what it is. But I know this, the staff here in the room is really being very aggressive in making sure that all these comments are captured and will be in the report. I don't think we want to do any more combining at this point, but I appreciate the comment, and I actually would look for further commentary or reflection on the results of the meeting.
Number three, and I really had a hard time when I voted for all the reasons that were discussed. I really think that I would love to hear some discussion at some point about how people define these things, because some of them are so subjective. And a patient's self-report on their quality of life and the scales that are used and how they'd be interpreted against measures that people are looking for in terms of applying them to clinical practice or reimbursement are going to be very different because of the subjectivity of the set of issues. I know Greg has a lot of feelings about this, so I hesitated to bring it up. because I do think that, I mean when you look at mortality and it has two, nobody wants to die, but on the other hand, there's so much contained in this one domain that has to do with patient-centeredness and patient satisfaction, family, there's so much in there. Just stating the obvious, but I wanted to restate it.
Other comments? I'd like to ask those from the public if they have any comments on what you've seen so far, first here in the room, and then in a moment we'll go to the telephones. But here in the room, anybody want to make a comment? Come on up. Find an empty microphone.
Hi, I'm Rupa. I'm with the Center for Healthcare Strategies. My question was, is there really a measure here that gets at mental health status? Because I know that could be within like something like wellness or well-being, but I think when you're talking about behavior change in particular, especially around issues of obesity and things like that, there is a lot of clinical evidence to suggest that mental health status has a lot to do with how inclined you are to actually enact a lot of behavior change. And so I think it's important for providers to also be looking at the mental health status of their patients if they truly want to make a difference on a lot of the lifestyle behavior issues. So I'm just wondering where that is, where that would fit in, and if it's already embedded in one of the measures.
I think we're largely taking care of that in some of the other measure streams, because that mental health tends to be a concept that already gets to analysts, but I think that's the answer we're...
It also has been, in Tom's presentation today, within the population health measure stream, that has been something that's come up many times as a gap area for us. So it has been something that's been part of our conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I think it actually presents an interesting dilemma in that if you specifically mention it, it's like it wasn't included. Mm-hmm. But for most people, it is. I mean, health status clearly includes mental health status as well. So I think... As does well-being. So, I think if you address that in the comment, in the write-up, and make sure that that's clear that it does, I think it's better to keep it not separate, but to, make sure that people understand that it's included and that it's a major component of probably even sometimes more important than physical health.
Thank you, Greg. That's very helpful. Other comments from public here in the room? On the phone.
Operator, would you provide instructions for those on the public line to ask questions?
Certainly. If you're on the public line and like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And there appear to be any questions or comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. So, I think we're at the point of asking whether we're satisfied with our work in population health. Any other comments or modifications that we want to make? This has been really an outstanding conversation. Really appreciate it. I want to thank you all for it. So I think we're down to a summation and path forward. Could this be where we are, Charlie?
That's slide 88.
So next steps, which I'm delighted to say we're at, is the July and August sessions, the July meeting that we're scheduled to have in person, I think on the 18th and 19th, right, Melini?
Actually, July is a web meeting on July 22nd.
August is in person.
And August is in person.
August is in person. Okay. We will identify the important measure gaps for HIT meaningful youth quality measures and in July and then develop, and August, and develop prioritized measures development and the endorsement agenda in August as well. Comment period, public comment period will be in September and October. We also have a September meeting, correct?
That's correct. We have a public web meeting that we're holding for the public to present the outcome of the August meeting and actually open up most of that meeting as an education for the public to understand where we landed.
Okay. And then the timeline, if I had just gone to that slide, I could have not fumbled through the first one because it gives details about really what we're doing. And for those of you on the phone who don't have this in front of you, we will convene the committee again in July to, like I said, identify the gaps in meaningful youth and looking toward the end of the summer into September and October, we will be seeking comments from NQF members and the public, and they'll be used to inform a final report to HHS, as well as the next steps in formulating a national strategy and priorities for healthcare performance measurement. So, those were easy.
Greg?
In terms of the meaningful use, I'm reflecting on a sidebar conversation which we had during lunch, so it wasn't with Michael Rapp, and that is I thought there might be some need for, or we thought as we were kicking back and forth, and I'll just speak for myself, so Michael not here, some prioritization of the existing meaningful use. You know, which areas are most important, even in the ones that have been identified. And at least, I think if we're going to do an overall gap identification and prioritization, there is going to have to be some consideration of what's already in the meaningful use, this year's meaningful use thing. So I just encourage, as we prepare for it, staff to sort of provide us with that touch point, a starting thing, whether we directly address them or not, sort of for your consideration. But there are perhaps some areas that are overemphasized, or at least that need to be put into some kind of relationship with the gap areas that we identify for going forward. Because obviously, the 2011, 20, 2013, 2015 iterations, et cetera, will have to take the whole set consideration.
That's a great point, Greg. As we plan ahead, clearly 2011 is set and it's a good starting point. 2013 is pretty much going to have to take into account measures that already exist because of the lag time for development and endorsement. And 2015 is more open in terms of development and endorsement. So we'll have to have our starting place, what we could do in the shorter term to react to think about gaps, probably more for 2015. So great context.
And not just gaps, but potentially areas of that can be de-emphasized as we find, you know, areas that need more emphasis, just in terms of setting overall priorities.
Good comment. Thank you very much. Other comments on anything we've talked over the last couple of days?
George, this is Christy.
Christy.
Hi. I just wanted to say that it reemphasized what we emphasized yesterday about the child health being a continuous stream throughout population health, just to make sure that's on the record. And you mentioned patient engagement and activation, and we've had a lot of evidence in adults that that's important. We haven't really gone the distance for children and youth, but certainly I think that fits in the same population health possible priority gap measure as well. Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss saying that.
Thank you very much, Christy.
How's your
feeling there?
Yeah, thank you.
And we keep tossing stuff from your group to ours.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Out there. Well, I guess it falls to me and Ellen to really be thank all of you for your active participation, contributions. This has been very, I think, very productive 2 days. I want to thank Peter for preparing and leading the conversation, being a resource for us. Really appreciate that. I want to thank the NQF staff in particular for just an outstanding 2 days. Ellen, anything
yeah.
else? No?
No, you do a great job.
So we're not done. But this chapter seems to be at least successfully concluded. So. And we're done early, so happy travels, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.